Welcome to the Round 19 Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm Marcus, and this week we're joined again by FP Donkey.
G'day, mate. I think you've conned me again here. I've got two people that have beaten me this week, but I'm happy to be here anyway.
Yep. Got guest Dunny back with us this week, so welcome back on, Dunny.
Thanks, boys. Good to be back with a good score again this week.
Yeah.
Not as good as you, though, Marcus.
No, kick us off because it's just a rarity this year. 26-44. I had a bunch of big scores. Namely, though, I think the Western Bulldogs team really did their bit for me this week because I'm very, very overexposed to them. And I had Picken 97, Dalhouse 106, Bontempelli 116, and Mitch Wallace with 137. So, whew. They really did a good job there. Sammy Jacobs, 156.
That was the big one. Mm-hmm. We're all missing Nick Nat, and you have just 156 come in.
Yep. Zeebles actually still producing hundreds with 106. That's nice. Selwood continued his good form, 145.
Yeah.
Yep. And then a few others everybody would have had. Martin, Swan, Danger. They all went huge, 150 plus. So, yeah, pretty pleased because I had Oxley, Pierce, Fife, Franklin out, so I think the team did pretty well to cobble that together, and having a deep bench is finally paying off a little bit, which I'm glad. And 3,033, almost in the top 3,000, and
got a bit excited there.
Yeah, I'm super excited because I mean this is okay. I can still hang my hat on this. Like out in the 4,000-5,000s felt a bit sad, but 3,000 looks like a happy number. I can live with this, and it's the top rank I've had all season. So of course I'm beaming. Anyway, that's
still two trades left as well, mate.
Yeah, two trades and 150k. Dunny, how'd you go?
Well, I wasn't quite that good. 25.50 for me this week, pushing me up to a rank of 2,337. I think that's probably my high point for the year. I still also have two trades left, having used two this week, and I've still got about 67K in the bank as well. I did pull the trigger once I heard that Nick Nat was out and brought in Steph Martin, so really happy to pick up his 112, but also really happy with Shaw with his 122, Pendles with his 129. I had the vice captain on Rockcliffe at 115, and I nearly switched it, put my captain on Hodge. But I thought, no, I'm going to trust in Goldstein, and thankfully he delivered
trust
yet again.
Trust in Goldstein.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you want to just explain what your other trade was, though, Matt?
Yeah, so I had another trade, which was a pretty bad one. Well, it got me 2 points. Can't complain. No, I was really nervous about Brody Smith, so I traded him out for Bashir Hooley, and of course Smith comes out and has his first 100 since round two. So, yeah, really happy with that.
Took him 17 rounds, guys, to earn him his first ton in my team.
He did, yes. But I mean, I've been watching him obviously pretty closely, as you guys would have, having him in your team. He's been terrible for the last 8 weeks or however long it's been. He just hasn't been near the ball. He definitely doesn't tackle. He just hasn't looked himself at all. But on the weekend, he actually looked like the old Brody Smith, like the reason why he was picked to begin with. He was just running just ahead of his player and kicking really well and getting inside 50s and, just looked back into form, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I was really worried about, with them playing Richmond. Richmond haven't been giving up huge scores of late. So I thought, I just, first week of finals, can't risk having a dud on my field. And, I got two extra points, so, hey, there's a silver lining in there.
Still two trades left on you, so you'd be happy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, if I only had two trades left, I certainly wouldn't have pulled the trigger on that one. I definitely would have done the Nick Nat to Martin, though. But, yeah, I think if I'd only had two at the start of the weekend, I would never have done that one. I had four at the start, so I thought, well, might as well give it a go.
Let's blow some trades.
Yeah, burn them away.
So, Mark, how'd you go, mate?
The Delidio being out sick was not great for me, and especially with Steel being dropped meant that I didn't have any cover. So I ended up trading to avoid a donut there. I traded in Max Gorn, who got 80, which seemed okay. I ended up copying a Nick Nat donut. I got one trade left. I wasn't trading for a 1 week out. And I know that he's out this week as well, but I could bring Gorn into the rucks this week. So I guess I just had to eat shit, and I scored 24.41, which I dropped about 70 spots in the ranking to 4.42, which I guess isn't too bad. Should be happy enough with that. A lot of those players, the big scoring players, the Heath, Shaw, Pendlebury, Danger, Goldstein, Martin, Swan, were sort of bulked out my score a little bit. And how's Selwood's form? 2 weeks in my team, and what, he's got 170 and 140. It's pretty good.
I think you did pretty well, mate, considering you had, you know, Delidio out, which is huge for you, and, you know, you didn't cover the knick-knack donut like Dunny was able to. So to be in the top 500 is still good. I was keeping my fingers crossed for that.
Thanks, mate. I did lose to Dunny in one of our league finals. Given my strong finish to the season, I do have double chance in most of my leagues. But, yeah, obviously not a great first week of the finals.
So we'll move on to our league update now. Supercoach coach number one stays at the top. And we had a few leagues come in. Kings now at third. Supercoach coach number two at fourth. And Supercoach coach Queens, which was first for a while, has drifted a bit and is sitting at fifth at the moment. So still well represented. I think it's still nine of the top 13. So as it gets closer, we'll get a little bit more excited. Maybe next week.
Never too early. Don't want to get excited too early on this one, mate, because we've seen what can happen in the past. But we're getting towards the business end. It is pretty tight, the top 10 or so. Yeah. We should also mention that the reason why our leagues are named with Kings and Jacks and Queens is obviously a poker reference. We've got a few poker players on the forum. So otherwise people might wonder why we got the Queens League.
All right, to our group update, at the top score this week, 27-26. That was Swaggy B, and that score pushed him up to 1,326th. So, well done, a huge score, mate. 100 points.
How did Tim go?
He scored 25-65, so he dropped to second, but I read there's something like 80 points between the top nine or something, which we haven't seen in a long time. So he's right in the hunt.
But anyone could win.
Anyone could win. So we'll keep our fingers crossed for him nonetheless. And we've got Cometti's Legions, 24-79. He's drifting out a little bit. Still in the top 50, just at 50th. And Nate Snags, your mate Nate, 24-98, clinging on 57th. So he looks like he'll be in top 100 for the year.
He should, and our listeners would be happy to hear that he did make it through to the final 16 of the SC Cup. So that's going to be pretty exciting over the next few weeks.
Yeah, four more rounds till he wins a car, hey?
Yeah, good luck, Nate. I don't know how he's going to give me a piece of his car, but...
Yeah. Hey, he can drive you around.
Yeah, pick the kids up sometimes. All right, don't forget, you can ask us questions for the show on Tuesdays at SupercoachCoach on Twitter and on Facebook.com/SupercoachCoach. This week, a bit more of a freeform show because not particularly huge topics to go through. The only one we really have is Nick Nat. He's confirmed and out this weekend. He's attending his mother's funeral on the Friday. So, yeah, condolences to you, Nick. And, yeah, hopefully he's back on the field and performing for you soon, those of you who have him. And that's the first question off the rack this week from Joshua Gibbs. Trade or hold? So, funnily enough, last week both Dunny and Mark were facing Nick Nat Donuts. But, Dunny, you've traded him out. And Mark, you've bought in cover. So I thought we were going to have, you know, one of you debating this question this week, but...
Nope, sorted.
No, we're all observers this week. So if you did not have any sort of cover this week, and presumably you've already taken a week's donut, do you take another or is it time to trade?
I think this comes down entirely to how many trades you've got and whether you really have to win a final this week. I mean, if you've got the week off in your league finals, then really good opportunity to just hold your trades because he's going to be back the week after. If you've got two trades left, I'd be very tempted not to trade because it's just a one-week donut. There's still enough rounds in the season that those two trades could be used to cover multiple donuts. I think that with two trades, it's pretty close. With one trade, you should hold. But with three trades, I'd probably be trading to cover a donut.
Exactly what I would have said, mate. Agree. I mean, if it's grand final week, yeah, of course you make the trade. But you know, this far out, two trades left, I'd probably take the donut. Obviously, if you're in a must-win game, have a look at your opponent's team, see if you think you've got them covered, even if you do carry a donut, and you know, hopefully you can, and hold that trade.
From an overall perspective, I think even if I had two trades, I mean, after this round, there's only three rounds left. Depending on your bench cover, if I had two trades, I would still consider saving a donut. I mean, pick up Martin and he can score 120. You know, we talk about 150 being a benchmark. Like, that's still pretty good for this late in the season. I don't know. I would actually consider it if I had a deep bench and I had two trades, to be honest.
Yeah, famous last words, having a deep bench at this time of year, as you'd be well aware, Marcus.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's all relative as well, like how many players on your midfield bench have you got? A lot of people carrying players like Kavanagh, Amon, Boston types that aren't getting a lot of game time, backline benches, people carrying donuts, and so that bench can fade away very, very quickly.
I guess I'm in a rare situation, so I don't
know. I can hear you smiling. Do you know how annoying that is?
It feels good. Look, I'm having a good week. It's been a whole season of misery.
I should let you enjoy it.
Anyway, we got a question here from Faz. He wants me to tell the Geelong selectors to give Tom Reed a run because Nick Nat's out for him and Faz is very low on trades. I think he might even be out because he had Wines and Beams to deal with. So he's in a world of hurt. Anyway, next question here from @Bales_81. He has two trades remaining and he's wondering whether he should be holding or trading up rookies to premium. So, you know, after this week, only three rounds to go. Would you consider dropping to one with three rounds to go to trade up to a premium? I'm guessing after the last question, both of you are going to say no to that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be using a trade on bench cover at this time of the year if I've only got two trades left. Trade it for when you lose one of your big guns.
That's exactly right. The thing about trading for bench cover is that you are trying to predict where you're going to need the cover. Why not just wait till you actually need the cover and then trade?
That's great points. If you have MPP set up well, you could potentially have, you know, swingable bench cover.
I've got Gorn that can cover midfield, forward or ruck, basically, due to the dual position status. So that's why I brought him in last week. I didn't necessarily think he was going to be the best pick, but it was covering a donut and providing me with future flexible cover.
So, for example, if you could bring in Gorn, who could do all that, even if you didn't have an out this week, would you consider that?
I think I've always been pretty conservative with my last three or four trades. Last year was the first time that I wasn't and got burnt really badly. So I think I'm going to revert to the pretty conservative thing and just become probably more ingrained in the fact that those last three, four trades, they're for donuts. They're to cover donuts. That's all they're for. And if you go into the last round and you've got two trades left and you can use them as luxury upgrades, then that's awesome. That's a huge win for you and you can hopefully get a couple of hundred points in that last round. But yeah, I think that more than likely with so many teams in the competition these days, so many players, so many teams out of finals contention that players are getting rested more and so many more easy games, I guess. So players with top eight teams are resting players and it's just going to be hard to get through the last 4 weeks. So I think you're going to need all of those trades to cover donut.
I agree, mate. And you know, a couple of years ago, I actually had eight trades left with four rounds to go. And I reckon I needed to use just about all of them on donuts. There was no such thing as luxury trades. And so I couldn't even fathom blowing one on a luxury rookie trade or bench cover trade at this point.
You had eight trades with four rounds to go. You're crazy, Dunny. You are super conservative.
That was my good year too. That was when I finished in the top 100.
That's amazing. Yeah, well, I was actually playing devil's advocate because I have two trades remaining and I actually have Bontempelli on field and I made the decision not to bring in a midfielder for Ablett a few weeks ago. You know, so I could even get an upgrade on my field, but I certainly won't be dropping down trades for that.
I can't really say that trading Bontempelli would be an upgrade at this time of year. I mean, he's absolutely had an awesome month of footy.
Yeah, but you remember a few weeks ago when you were telling me how stupid it was? At that point, it was considered an upgrade getting onto, you know, a bona fide midfielder. But yes, no, in hindsight, it's worked out well. And yeah, I certainly wouldn't be dropping down below two. And really, I wouldn't really want to drop below three, even with three rounds to go. It'd be nice to have one trade left for each of the remaining rounds.
Yeah, I think, I mean, my theory used to be try and have two for each of the finals, if I could. So, yeah, I mean, going down to one is per week is pretty low.
Having said that, I still think that for a Nick Nat, specifically for a donut, I would consider rolling the dice on that. Anyway, we'll move on to Dom Dunn's question. Best two defenders to get outside of Shaw and Hodge for the run home. Cash is no issue. So we got a few questions about this. It seems that the back line is a spot where people are looking for those last-minute finals upgrades. What do you guys reckon? Shaw and Hodge look like fair standouts. I know we talked about Pickin being a standout, but he only scored 97 this week.
Two 90s in a row, I think.
Yeah.
Well, Brody Smith looks pretty good.
Yeah, thanks for that. He's in 18% of teams. Sean Higgins can hit a bit of form, but he can also have a quiet one as well.
124 three-round average. Yeah. Crazy.
138 and 145 are his last two scores. So,
but yeah, if you look back to round 16 there, he had a fairly quiet one that day. So, you know, he can throw them in, but I would personally roll the dice. I've had him all season and haven't regretted that pick one bit. If I looked at a couple of other guys there, I mean, Hooley, got to recommend him because I brought him in last week. You know, he should be going okay. Mark, any others you've got there?
I think Hulu's an awesome pick, and I think that you made the right choice there. And he's only $438,000. There was a bit of a theory that I heard going around the forums recently that he struggled during Ramadan because he can't really eat during the day, so that might have affected his ability to play out the games, and he does seem to have shown better form since then. So, except for the brain fade against Fremantle, he's been looking all right and playing all right off halfback, and one of the highest scorers of the year. So, I mean, if you do need value, Hooley, I would say, would be an awesome pick.
He is fifth ranked on average at the moment. So,
Bob Murphy coming off a week off might not be too bad either.
On to the next question. Now we'll move on to Paul Maltman's question, talking about dumping a defender now. He's got KK. You do too, Dunny. Paul reckons he's hit the wall a little bit.
If you look at KK, he's averaging 81 in his last five, 77 in his last three. I mean, yeah, he has hit a bit of a wall. I think his form has been a bit affected by Malcheski. When Malcheski has a good game, KK seems to have a poorer one. Three trades left. I'd be really nervous about making this trade for luxury. I think with a guy in your back line, you're probably looking to get 80, 90 plus out of him. Yeah, 66 is not good, but at this stage of the year, I wouldn't be willing to make that trade.
Yeah, I think the backline players just have down patches in their seasons, and you've just got to sort of ride them out.
I mean, look, it's his worst score in 9 rounds, so it's not panic stations yet. I wouldn't be too concerned. Maybe next week, if you still didn't have any injury trades to deal with, 3 trades for 2 weeks is probably unnecessary, so you could consider it then, but you know, at least ride it out another week. Next week could be absolute carnage, who knows? We'll move on to the next question from David Simpson. He stupidly picked up Malcheski, he reckons. Does he trade or keep? So only a few weeks ago, he was the value option, and things haven't gone so well since. 57, 56, 80.
Yeah, but before that, it was 94, 91, and he was so cheap. Like, it was Smith price, 320 or something. And it looked to me, I strongly considered bringing him in at one stage, and it did look to me that he could return to some form. But I think maybe the Suns are going to struggle a bit for the rest of the year with just so many players missing. They are going to struggle to find some wins. And yeah, I think that in hindsight, it was a mistake. But look, I mean, he's probably better than playing a rookie. And if you're limited on trades, I hate to be repeating myself, but I just can't see too many opportunities where upgrading is actually a good idea at this time of year.
I agree, mate. I mean, his maximum has been a 94 for the season, and he did miss that big chunk. Who knows what he could do? I mean, he could come out next week and score 110. We don't know, you know, what's going to happen. So I wouldn't be making that trade at this point. I agree with what you had to say there, Marcus. I think when you were talking about KK, you know, if you've got 3 left next week, then I would look at, you know, maybe one of these trades. But at this point of the game, no.
Because like Dunny knows, you can trade out somebody even as crappy as Brody Smith, and they can go on to randomly score 101. And Malcheski certainly looks like he has even more of that potential than Brody Smith did last week. So,
if I'd had Nick Malcheski sitting there instead of Brody Smith, I wouldn't have made that trade. I would have held him, because I think he's got bigger upside than what Smith does, although he hasn't shown it.
We'll move to Jim's question now. He's asking about Ryan Griffin, so another player that people are running out of patience with after a couple poor games, 86 and 62. Before that, he had a decent patch, lower score of 91, did score 119 and 116. What do you guys reckon? He doesn't seem to be able to score consistently. We've known that the whole season. Again, I'm guessing...
I think it's just like, I mean, we've sort of answered this question several times on the podcast this year. It's the same problem coming up. If you haven't dealt with it by now, you probably won't deal with it unless you've got 5 or 6 trades there that you can just burn. But you probably should have made that decision 12 weeks ago to jump off of Griffin. So, look, he seems to be playing a decent role for the Giants playing off halfback, but he just hasn't been able to put through consistent scoring all year. And again, it comes down to how many trades you got.
He's been really good, I think, since round 12, really. He's only really had last week and, to a lesser degree, the week before where he has struggled. He certainly hasn't got the up-and-down yo-yo type graph that he had for the first 10 weeks of the season. But at this stage, you know, you really don't want your midfield players scoring a 62. They really all should be scoring 110-plus for you each week. But if you've held him this long, why is it taking you this long to realise you've got to get rid of him?
How many trades would you need to have in order to trade somebody like Griffin out?
At least 4, probably maybe 5. And the problem with trading Griffin out is that it's one of those trades that you could, like Dunny had on the weekend, where you trade it out and you don't actually gain anything from it on the first week.
I agree. I think you've got to have 4, and I'd probably like to see a fair bit of cash in there too, because he's only sitting at $464,000. You're not going to get a super premium for that price. So I think you need to have, you know, if you've got 100K sitting in the bank, then you could probably consider that trade. I guess you could go to someone like Zeebel with that sort of money, but
no way. I'd just keep Griffin.
Exactly. And in that situation, I'd probably keep Griffin. So I think you've got to have a good stash of cash behind you to take him to a really good premium player.
Yeah, that's a good point about the amount of money you actually need, Dunny. You wouldn't want to have to double trade at this point, especially to upgrade anybody like that.
Nah, no way.
Well, according to Dunny, some people might even have 8 trades left.
Yeah, if you're in that luxurious situation, probably not this year, though, with the Ablett and Sloan and the Rockliffe and the...
Surely not everyone's jumped on the merry-go-round.
Fozzy Wolf's question, Mark Murphy, he wants to know about. He's averaged 120 in the last 3, and he's got Lions, Melbourne, and GWS coming up. Is he a smoky option? Murphy, I know you do quite like him, Mark, and he's been doing well for you in draft, hasn't he?
He has, mate. Since round 10, since Malthouse got sacked, actually, he's gone 151, 103, 114, 97, 113, 104, 114, 117, 130. So very nice run of form for about 10 weeks now, and this is the Mark Murphy that we used to know, the one that doesn't ever post low scores. He has been awesome for me in drafts, but unfortunately, Marcus, I did lose my draft prelim on the weekend and I am out, so you won't hear me talk about draft anymore. 2 former podcast guests in the final, though. We had Dead Sets on our show last year, and he's playing Keffa, who we had earlier on in the year in the grand final. So I think we're going to have Keffa on the show next week and we can ask him how he went.
All right, next question here is from Graham Price. If Franklin is out again, would you go Goddard, Zorko, or a POD to win a knockout final like Jack Riewoldt versus Gold Coast? So I think a key position forward for finals is pretty exciting. What do you guys reckon about that?
I've been pretty impressed with what I've seen from Zorko of late. He seems to be getting back a bit of form, 134 this weekend. He did have a poor game in round 18, but apart from that, he had a really good run from round 11 through to 16. So I think he'd be a really good pickup. He's 5'30", he's got forward mid-eligibility, so you could use him for cover elsewhere if you need to as well.
I think that he would be pretty unique as well. I wouldn't think so that there'd be too many teams rocking out Zorko this year.
7.8%, he's in 7,000.
So he's probably going to be a unique in your final anyway. And like if you get Jack Riewoldt this week because he plays the Suns and you win, you're going to need him to play well next week as well. So you do have to keep that in mind.
Well, Zorko's also playing Calt.
Jeez, that seems pretty tasty. And Jack's had a great season, but he's coming off 2 52s in a row.
I think a bit of a unique one, to be honest, is Dalhouse, especially for his average. He's the 7th top averager for the year at 103, and he's only in 28,000 teams. So that's really, really tiny. Dalhouse has sort of flown under the radar there, and he's playing Melbourne this week. And his last 5 games, the poorest has been 92, and his highest has been a 143. So he could be a decent one this week.
Awesome option. I can't believe you got so many doggies in your team, mate. It's a great year to have them with them sitting top 4, but I don't actually have any in my team. Not even a rookie.
I've got Dalhouse and Bailey Dale with his 1 point from the weekend sitting on my bench.
Yeah.
All right, last one I'm going to throw up in this forward line. Jimmy Bartel. So since coming back, 116, 101, 111, 93, and 104. Only concern is he plays Hawks this week.
Doesn't he love playing the Hawks? Or
he does. I mean, it's a bit more of a risk, though, you know, bringing a play in against the reigning premiers.
If I didn't take Gawn last week, then I would have taken Jimmy Bartel because I think that he's well-priced. Since he's come back, he's been in awesome form. Geelong making a push towards the finals. As far as I was aware, Marcus, our preseason prediction has come true that he has played a bit more midfield.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that Bartel would potentially even be the number one pick for me. I think he's a great pick.
8,700 teams only have him. So he's actually the most unique out of all the guys we've talked about so far tonight.
Yeah, I've been recommending him to a lot of people in the last few weeks. I think he, at that price, as you said, Mark, was a really good pickup. Still under 500,000. So I would certainly consider him very highly.
So the forward options that we talked about, a favourite 2 maybe?
I think we're going to go the same here, Dunny. Probably Bartel and then Zorko.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was going to say, mate.
And if you've got Nick Nat out, it might be worth bringing in Maxi Gawn. He struggled, but he played against Goldstein on the weekend, but he has posted a pretty good run of scores and could provide that extra rock cover that you might need in the next few weeks.
Playing the Dogs this week, I think he can have another big score.
Would you bring in Max Gawn ahead of a rock if you had Nick Nat? Like a true rock like Stefan Martin?
Oh, it's a tricky one. It wouldn't be bad, like what I did last week was bring Gorn onto my forward bench so he can cover forwards and rucks. And I think that that seems like a pretty good solution because you'll need the ruck cover this week for Nick Nat, but you can benefit from having Gorn cover other players later on.
I think if you've got that ability to use the MPP, then yes. If you don't have another player in your forward or ruck that you can use to make that change, then I would bring in Stephen Martin like I did.
Yeah.
I think in terms of the forwards for me, I was going to go with Dalhouse instead of Zorko, just to chuck in something different. But I like your Bartel picks, guys, as well. All right, that's it for the show, guys. A bit more freeform, but we still got through a little bit. Thanks very much for coming on again, Dunny. It's been awesome to have you on throughout the season.
It has, mate.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on, and best of luck to everyone in their finals.
Mark, I trust that this week things will get back to usual and you'll thump me, and next week I'll have my tail between my legs again. And I hope you maintain that top 500. So good luck, mate.
Cheers, mate. I think if Deledio plays and there's no more surprise outs, I should be all right.
Thanks again, Dunny. And to our community, a huge thanks for staying on. Round 20 is coming up now, so thank you to all of you who are still tuning in each week. Massive, massive thanks for what's been our best season so far in terms of response and all that. So we'll catch you all next week, and thank you again. See ya.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.